Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that evolution is true. Let's assume, for the sake of argument, that living creatures evolved through a process of natural selection. Let's assume that human beings and chimpanzees have a common ancestor. Guys, I'm not saying that there's no God. I'm not saying that we came about by random chance. And I'm not saying that your grandfather was a gorilla. What I'm saying is, let's assume these things for the sake of argument. That means let's think about them. Let's try and understand them. Let's consider them. Let's discuss them. Let's explore them rationally. Let's use evidence. Let's think clearly. And you can relax. You don't need to feel threatened. If you use evidence, it will take you to the truth. That's Islam. And the truth will set you free. Let's cut to the chase. I'm going to show you that if evolution is true, then God exists. Wait a minute. Does that mean that if evolution is not true, that God doesn't exist? No. And if A, then B statement means that if A, the first part, the antecedent, is true, then B, the second part, the consequent, must be true. But it doesn't mean that if B is true, the consequent is true, that the antecedent A must be true. Let me give you an example. If everybody in the world becomes Muslim, then Hamza's a happy man. But that doesn't mean that if Hamza's a happy man, I'm a happy man, that everybody in the world is Muslim. So if A, then B, if evolution is true, then God exists. I'm going to show that to you. Now your guards are lowered. Now you're relaxed. Now let's think. Let's examine that conditional statement. If evolution is true, we'll start with this first bit and try and understand what it means. In order to understand this, we need the basics of genetics. So here's a quick and simple overview. We are living organisms. We're made up of trillions of cells. Each cell contains within it a remarkable molecule called deoxyribonucleic acid, or DNA for short. DNA contains chemical letters that encode the instruction manual for the entire living organism, for its color, for its size, for its shape, for innumerable other traits. So when a living organism, such as a human being, reproduces to produce offspring, there's my offspring behind the camera. So the mother contributes half of her DNA, and the father contributes half of his DNA to make a new genome. The genome is the entirety of the DNA of the offspring, and it defines the unique characteristics of that new living organism. Now, the offspring will share many traits with its parents. This one here gets his good looks from his mother. But the process of DNA combination and development can also introduce slight changes. And these changes are sometimes harmful. They can cause severe genetic diseases, for example. But sometimes they confer advantages that make the offspring more likely to survive. And when it survives, it's more likely to survive. It's more likely to pass on those advantages to its offspring. And this is the process of natural selection, and it leads to the gradual evolution of living organisms. So there you go, that's evolution. Now you understand what it means for evolution to be true. You now understand the first part of the conditional statement, if evolution is true. Let's now examine the second part. So if evolution is true, then God must exist. Why? Because everything about evolution is contingent. Contingent means dependent. When something is contingent, we say, why is it that way? What made it that way? What caused it to be that way? So our features, my color, my height, my other features, I ask, why are they that way? What made me that way? What explains my features? And we know that these features are explained through DNA. But do we just stop there? Do we say, DNA, finished, that's it. I know everything about where I came from now. DNA is brute fact. DNA needs no explanation. DNA is a basic fundamental fact of the universe that has no scientific explanation whatsoever. No, we don't say that. We don't say that. That's unscientific. Every single thing in the universe, when we look at it, we search for a scientific explanation. We don't say, brute fact, stop here, needs no explanation, that's it. Science doesn't stop anywhere. The reason why it doesn't stop anywhere is because science explains one contingent thing, dependent thing in other words, something that needs to be explained, with another contingent thing, and that contingent thing with another contingent thing, like that line of dominoes that we saw. And this line of contingent explanations doesn't answer any question. One contingent explanation does not explain another contingent explanation because it itself is dependent. It's leaning on the thing behind it. In order to explain the contingent things in the universe, there needs to be a necessary being that is holding up the line of dominoes. Otherwise, the universe would cease to exist. Otherwise, there would be no evolution, if it were true. So the DNA that I have in each and every cell of my body came from the DNA of my parents. Then it was replicated every time my cells divided, and they continue to divide. And the DNA in my parents came from their parents, and so on back. Where did the first DNA come from? Where did the first gene come from? That's an open question. Scientists don't know the answer to that. There's a group of theists who would like to say that we can only explain the existence of the first gene by appealing to God. I'm not sure that argument's a good argument. We're going to return to that in a future episode. But the point that I want us to take away right now is whether you think that the first gene has some kind of a natural explanation, or whether you think it only has a supernatural explanation. Genes are contingent. They need to be explained. Something needs to make them the way that they are. I'd also like you to see that my survival as a result of my genetic advantages is not solely a result of my genes. I have genes, but I need to eat, I need to drink, I need to exercise, I need shelter, I need safety. If all of these other factors are not there, I won't survive. My survival is contingent on a host of other contingent factors. All of the factors that I listed are contingent. They're dependent on other things. So the term evolution by natural selection is a term, it's a name for a group of contingent relations within the universe. And one contingent thing cannot explain another contingent thing. When you want an explanation for one contingent thing and you point to another contingent thing, you haven't solved the problem. You've actually made it worse, because before you only had one contingent thing to explain, now you have two. And so the process of doing science is a discovery of the contingencies upon contingencies upon contingencies in the universe. And that's why science has made the existence of God clearer than ever before. That's why any scientific discovery, Bernoulli's principle of how heavier than air objects can generate lift to fly. Newton's law of gravitation that can explain the orbiting of planets around the sun. Any scientific discovery, any scientific explanation, it highlights the contingencies in the universe. And by highlighting the contingencies in the universe, it highlights the existence of God. That's why science is great. Science doesn't just make our lives in this world better, but science is valuable because it helps generate religious knowledge. And that's why, if evolution is true, then God must exist. What you've just understood is really important. You've understood why the Muslim argument for the existence of God is not vulnerable to a very common atheist objection to theism. That objection is called the God of the Gaps objection. I'm going to tell you about it in the next episode. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten about the gorilla, but you'll have to be patient and think with me step by step for a couple of episodes until you're ready to tackle the question of human ancestry.